to finish our time together off with a celebration of the Lord's table is really just the best way that we can do it. And what I'd like to do is maybe give you a little bit different perspective about the elements of the bread and the cup. And of course, we know that that bread speaks of the body of our Lord. The cup speaks of the sacrifice of His blood. But there's a lot more behind the scenes. And so what I'd like to do is just begin with a word of prayer and then share with you some things that I hope maybe will give you a little bit different perspective, maybe a greater appreciation. And then I'll ask the men to come forward and we'll pass the elements to you and we'll celebrate the Lord's table together. Just join me, if you would, in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are incapable of expressing, as we should, our gratitude and appreciation for the love and mercy that you've shown to us. We thank you so much for the plan of salvation that you devised before history began, that you would be willing to send your Son into this world to live a spotless life and then to go to the cross for those who were your enemies, for those who were sinners in rebellion against you, and all for the joy of winning for himself a bride. Father, we look forward to that day when we will be gathered together to him, when we will be purified that final time completely, without spot, without blemish. We just ask that as we celebrate the Lord's table now, this afternoon, that you'll give us a true appreciation of who our Lord is and of what he's done in our behalf. Open the eyes of our understanding by the power of your Spirit. Make our souls sensitive to his guiding. And let us have true appreciation and gratitude for the grace that is ours through Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. When a young Jewish man got ready to marry, he would often point out to his father the bride that he had picked, the one that he wanted. Marriages in Israel, as with marriages in India today, are arranged by the parents. But that doesn't mean that the young people don't get involved a little bit. So the father of the young man would go to the father of the young lady and they would talk. There were a lot of considerations, family ties, tribal ties, lineage, status, and other things. When the fathers were satisfied that, yes, this is what we want to happen, we want this boy and this girl to be united together in marriage, they would arrange a meeting between the young man and the young woman. And that meeting was built around a meal, and the young man, already having expressed his interest in the young lady, it was now her time to express herself. The way it would work is that the young man would take a loaf of bread and he would break the bread. And of course, you know that the Jews and people in the South never cut their bread. They break it. That's a bit of a joke, but anyway, the breaking of the bread was designed to symbolize the meaning of life. Breaking the bread was a reminder that life never comes neatly cut. It's ragged. It has edges. And so the young man would break a piece of the bread and he would offer the bread to the young lady. Now, if the young lady was totally opposed to this, she would simply decline the bread and the meeting was over. But if she took the bread, it meant that she was considering this young man as a prospective mate. She would eat the bread, and that was symbolic of her willingness to consider sharing this man's life, as we say in our ceremonies, for better or for worse. And then they would discuss matters about the dowry that would be paid, about the occupation of the young man, about the kind of life that they would have, so that they had a little bit fuller idea of what their life together was going to be. At the end of that time, the young man would pour a cup of wine, and he would offer the cup of wine to the young lady. When she took the cup of wine and drank it, that was her commitment. From that point forward, they were engaged. They were betrothed. If she took the wine and poured it out, that was bad news for the boy. That meant, no, I've thought about this, and on hearing a little bit more of your financial situation or future prospects or whatever, I don't really think this is what I want to get into. She would pour out the wine. Now, assuming that all goes well and the commitment is made in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the cup, the young man would then go to prepare his house. You all remember the passage where Jesus said, "No man knows the day or the hour, but only the Father in heaven." That was actually a statement that came from the Jewish marriage ceremony. As the young man would go to prepare the house, his friends might come by the road and they'd say, "Hey, I see you're building a house. You must be getting married. Congratulations. When is the happy day?" The young man's response would be, "No one knows but the Father." And the reason for that is because the Father had to give approval that the house was properly finished before the young man could go and take the bride. He wanted to make sure that this guy wasn't in a hurry and just slapped up a shack and went to get his bride. Had to be a nice house. When the Father gave his okay to the house that had been prepared, the young man would gather together his friends, and usually they would choose to do this at the worst possible hour, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Meanwhile, the young lady has had her, what we call a hope chest, actually comes from the old custom of the young lady having prepared what she's going to take with her when the bridegroom comes. He would send one of the friends ahead, and the friend would shout, "The bridegroom cometh." The young lady would then gather up her things, her jewelry, her clothing, and so forth, and she would come running out of the house. She would meet the young man. If he was wealthy enough, he would come on a white horse, and he would snatch her up and carry her away to where the wedding was to take place. And then they would have the wedding festivities. Usually there was a feast that would last for 7 days, and all of the friends, of course, would be invited. You remember that John the Baptist identified himself as a friend of the bridegroom. He was the one who announced the coming of Jesus Christ. Later, it's going to be an angel who's going to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are many of these elements of the Jewish marriage ceremony that run through the celebration of the Lord's table. On the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples, he took the Old Testament Passover and gave it an entirely new significance. He gave it the significance of the cross. In a very simple ceremony, he took the bread and he broke the bread and he passed it to his disciples and he said, "This bread is my body, which is given for you." He then took the cup and passed the cup to them and said, "This cup is the blood of the new covenant." By the way, if you remember, what is the central message of the new covenant? It's given to us in Hebrews 10:17. It's one that I love. I'm very thankful that I live under the new covenant because he said, "Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." That's the total, unconditional, complete forgiveness that you and I have in Jesus Christ. So what I want to do before the men come forward is just take the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. He said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." What we are engaging in here today is a ritual, a ceremony that has been celebrated in caves and castles, in prisons and in palaces, in remote places and luxurious places, all around the world throughout the history of the church, as believers have done very simply what Jesus asked us to do. Remember his body given on the cross. Remember his blood shed for us, not just in the outpouring of that physical blood, but in the payment of the penalty of the sins of the entire world as God the Father judged him in our place. It's important that we keep in mind that not only is this a solemn occasion, but it's a serious occasion. Paul gives us a warning. He says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." I take that unworthy manner to mean that here I am as a Christian celebrating the emblems of Christ's victory on the cross, and yet I'm living a disobedient life. That's unworthy. What do I do then if I have areas of my life that have not been brought under his authority, areas that are not surrendered? The solution many people choose to take is just don't partake of the Lord's table. But Paul goes on and gives us another option. He said, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." He said, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Some have died." Verse 31 then says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." That self-judgment I take as an act of self-examination, asking under the illumination of the Spirit for God to reveal anything in my life. I like to use the words of David at the end of Psalm 139. "Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my ways. See if there be any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So I would suggest, as the elements are being passed, that each one of us, in the privacy of our own soul, engage in that self-examination. Lord, is there anything in my life not pleasing to you? If there is, acknowledge it, confess it, and claim his cleansing and forgiveness. And then instead of not partaking, partake in a restored fellowship with the Lord. What we're going to do is the men are going to pass the bread to you, and I would ask you to hold it because we're a body here. And I would like you to hold it and reflect on it. And as you hold that bread in your hands, I want you to think of what it means that Christ gave his body on the cross for you. As you hold that cup, I want you to think of what it means that he poured out his life in his blood for you. And let it be a very personal time between you and the Lord. We'll hold the bread, we'll hold the cup until everyone's been served. I'll then offer a prayer. We'll take the elements together. So if the men will come forward, we'll pass to you the bread. Now I want to talk just a little as they're passing the bread to you. I want you to try to picture this. As you hold that bread in your hands, I want you to think of the words of John the Apostle. As he began the book of 1 John, and he talked about the life that was manifested in Jesus Christ. And he said, "That which we have seen, which we have heard with our ears, which we have handled with our hands. Imagine being one of those first disciples who could reach out and take hold of the Lord, hold His hand, put your hand on His shoulders, maybe even at some point, hold His face in your hand. That body that was without sin, without spot, without blemish, He laid down on the cross for you and I. Meditate on this while you hold that bread. Let's give thanks for the bread. Sorry. Father, as we take this bread, we remember the earthly body of our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember that He came into this world by means of virgin birth. We know that that body was unique of all the bodies that ever walked this earth because in it there was no sin. Not only that, but He lived a spotless and a sinless life through all the temptations, through all of His days, keeping Himself as the perfect Lamb to be offered in our place. We thank You, Father, for His sacrifice. Bless this bread, not just to our body, but to the nourishing of our soul as we meditate on Him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take the bread together. The men will now pass the cup to you, and once again, if you'll just hold the cup and use this as a time of reflection, a time of meditation, realizing that this cup represents the offering of His blood in our place. When the Old Testament says that the life is in the blood, it adds a great new significance to the term the blood of Christ. Because the offering of the blood of Christ means He gave His life for you and I. The prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 says He poured out His soul in death. Think of the price that's been paid for our so great salvation. Let's give thanks for the cup. Father, we have no way to fully comprehend all that is meant by the term the blood of Christ. But we take this cup in obedience to our Master's command that we would do it and that we would do it often, that we would do it in remembrance of Him and the price that He paid for the salvation that we have. And as we close this time of our conference together, as we feasted on the Word, we fellowshiped with You and with one another, it's a good way for us to end and to be reminded that we owe it all to our Lord who laid His life down for us. Let His sacrifice in our behalf not be in vain, but help us remember the debt we owe to His grace. To spread the gospel, to share the good news, to make disciples here at home and around the world, that His sacrifice might be the benefit and the blessing of untold multitudes. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's drink the cup to the King of Kings. I've really enjoyed being with you. I haven't gotten to know all of you well, but we're going to have eternity to get to know each other. And as I often tell our students in other countries, because I can't speak with them, they have their own language, I always say, won't it be great when we get to heaven, we'll all be able to talk to each other. It's going to be a wonderful time. Join me in prayer and we'll just finish out by giving God thanks. Father, we are so thankful for the grace that You show to us. We thank You for this time, for this church. We thank You for Your Word, which gives light to our path. Thank You for the Spirit of God, who opens our understanding. Lord, we pray once again as we go our separate ways, put that hedge of protection around us, keep us under Your hand, and guide us from within, that we might live lives that are worthy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May Your blessing be on each and every one who has come here. As we go our way, may we carry something with us to share with others that we might draw them closer to Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray, with gratitude and thanksgiving. Amen.